Well, hello, folks, and welcome to this inaugural pilot episode of From the Press Box, from the AHL Report. I'm your host, Amy Johnson, and I'm joined by my co-host, the president, founder, and editor-in-chief of All Habs Hockey Magazine and the AHL Report, Rick Stevens.
Glad to be here.
And we are fresh coming off of the rookie tournament in Toronto at Ricoh Coliseum, Rick. You and I were both there, as well as All Habs teammate Matt Smith, and we saw a lot of action happen at Ricoh Coliseum. Habs ended up going 1-1 against the Leafs and the Sens, respectively. And there was a lot to talk about, both on the good side and the bad side.
Certainly was. As you said, the Canadians split their two games with the Senators and with the Maple Leafs. I thought that that the Senators were probably the more most skilled team at the mini tournament, but it's really difficult to take too much out of, or to draw too many conclusions out of a short tournament like this. But maybe we can focus on some individuals rather than looking at team play.
Absolutely, and kind of going along with that too, you know, let's not forget that Ottawa also was icing some guys who've already had some AHL experience, so they did have a team that's a little more accustomed to that fast pace of play and have had some professional experience. So against the Habs, they certainly outshined against Montreal. But let's kind of start with the performance against the Leafs, because it was a really resilient comeback after the Habs found themselves down 2-1.
Indeed it was. They came back in the third period, scoring four of their goals. They feasted on some suspect goaltending, I'd have to say. The Leafs made a change at the halfway mark, and Ian Scott came in the midway through the second period. He was fine through the second, but looked a little nervous and shaky in the third, and the Habs certainly took advantage of that.
Absolutely. On the flip side of the ice, though, Michael McNiven looked really solid in net. You know, he even after letting those two goals go in the second period, he bounced back from that. In fact, I asked him that specifically in the scrum afterwards, if it was hard for him to refocus, and he basically said, you know what, pucks go in. I got to do a little skate around and get my head back in the game, and that's what he did, and he was able to really allow his offense to get them back in the game.
The pucks go in, and you know, I just do a little skate, just think about it for 2 seconds, what I could have done better, and then I'm just back into the game.
McNiven was solid in the 1.5 games that he played. Solid, poised, looked very calm, and I think he helped. Beyond Noah Juulsen and Victor Mete, there were some jitters in the defense corps, and I think that McNiven helped settle them down. He also helped to move the puck. He got out of his net and was moving the puck up. He even got an assist, picked up an assist on Will Bitton's goal. He looked excellent throughout the tournament.
Both both McNiven and Marty Lapointe actually both commented in scrums after the game about how McNiven plays the puck and plays the puck well. McNiven did mention that, you know, if he can try to get the opposing team kind of off kilter a little bit by doing that, then he's going to take the chance to do that and get it up the ice.
Yeah, I love playing the puck. It makes it a lot easier for my forwards and my D as well, moving the puck up quicker and getting it to my players. It's just it's a fast-paced game, and if you can catch the team off guard, you got to try and get it up there.
I think you can really, you saw that he really likes to play the puck behind the net, and you know, he makes the key saves, and he looked real good tonight.
Respectively, the game against Ottawa, Montreal had a rookie goaltender in the crease, Antoine Samuel, and while he was pulled halfway through the game after allowing 5 goals, you know, and a lot of people, frankly, were joking, oh, well, that poor kid's not going to face any media. But to his credit, he came out and was poised and said, you know what, it's always a learning experience. I was just happy to put on the sweater and you know, even things like, you know, warm-ups and cool-downs and practices and whatnot, that he takes every piece of attending a camp like this and learns from it. So I thought kudos to him and good on him for having such a good attitude.
He had his struggles in net, a little trouble tracking the puck, had a big time trouble with controlling rebounds. But as you said, he was a stand up guy. He came out and he was very positive about the whole experience, and his parents were in the stands, and I think I liked how he reacted to probably not his best performance.
You know, I had some good flashes during the game, and I just battled through, and the result's not what I wanted, but I'm just going to go back to my hotel room tonight, study the good, focus on the good things, and go back to work tomorrow.
One guy that really has faced a lot of adversity lately that I was looking forward to seeing, and I'm sure a lot of Habs fans were looking to see as well, was Martin Ravaille. He was back on the ice and admittedly was a bit tired, especially playing two games back-to-back. He said his legs were pretty dead.
Didn't expect anything else. I know I'm going to be tired, but every practice, every game is going to make me better, stronger. My legs are going to be much well-rested, so hopefully he's going to come back soon.
But he looked decent out there, even after taking an enormous open ice hit at the beginning of the second game.
Didn't see much 5-on-5 with him, but he looked good on the power play. Got great vision, great hands. Set up Daniel Audet for a one-timer for a power play goal. He plays kind of a game where he glides and hovers, and he can do that on the big ice. He's going to have to change his game somewhat on the smaller ice, and I think it's going to take him some time to get his legs back and get used to the new environment he's in.
Well, and the one thing, actually, that's exactly right, because Marty Lapointe did mention afterwards that they knew that they weren't expecting him to be, where the rest of the guys are as far as conditioning goes after having been out for so long. And he said that the key word that they've been telling this young athlete is just to be patient and that the Canadians are going to be patient with him and that it's going to take some time to get his strength and conditioning back up where it should be, but that they'll be with him kind of every step of the way. So that's got to be encouraging for him.
That vision, sense, passing, puck skills, you can't teach that. He has that. Obviously, he came back a few times on the bench, saying his legs, he was tired. But I told him it's a process. You've been out for a year. He's a special kid. We're going to be patient with him. He knows that. So for him, it was a good start. He stood out anyways, even though he's not in top shape.
But he did play on the top line with Dan Audet and Jeremiah Addison. Those guys both can motor. Particularly Addison was in on the forecheck. And maybe not the right matchup of styles of games. That's going to take that will shake itself out as well as the training camp goes on.
One of the pairings defensively that were probably the most exciting to watch were Noah Juulsen and Victor Mete. We spoke with both of them after the second game, and Victor, as always, very positive about his performance. He did mention that he feels having participated with Team Canada in the World Junior Summer Showcase, that kind of intense competition, he feels really helped him get prepped for this tournament by having that just a few weeks ago. Juulsen, on the other hand, admittedly felt that his game on Saturday, despite the 8-2 loss, was better than his performance on Friday in the win against the Leafs. And from what we saw from the press box, that was an accurate representation.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Juulsen, he plays a quiet game. He's not flashy. He's going to be there to block shots. He's going to be there to clear the net. He's great positionally in his own end. And in the tournament, when he wasn't playing with Mete, he was making up for some of the mistakes of his younger defense pairs. I think he looked he looked calm, he looked poised, and he wore the C throughout the tournament, and an excellent choice.
Yeah, it's surreal, out of the 20 guys or 23 guys who are here, they picked me, and from management, that's huge for me.
with him paired with Mete, it was kind of they complement each other nice, and kind of a won't happen this year, but a look into the future of how those two might end up being defensive partners with the Canadians.
He's an amazing player. He's kind of easy to play with. I know where he's going to be. I know like what he's kind of thinking mentality wise, and I know if I jump into the rush, I know he's got my back, and I know he knows that if he goes off, I got his back.
So let's just chat just for a second about players who maybe positively surprised us. You had a player in particular that really stood out to you most of the weekend. McEwen seemed to really catch your eye.
Well, you don't really know what to expect with the players there on a tryout, it just seemed wherever the puck was, there was James McEwen, and he made the best of his opportunity. He was always around the puck. He was always working hard, and I see he'll be heading over to the Canadiens training camp as one of three PTOs, and so good on him. He looked great throughout the tournament.
For me, I really liked the play of Wakid. I thought he really looked good out there. To his credit, he tossed the gloves against a known tough guy from Ottawa, Englund, whom you, great memory on Rick's part here, made sure to point out in the press box this was the same Englund who got Nikita Sherbak to drop the gloves last year at the rookie tournament. And Wakid held his own. He got some pretty good headshots in there. And aside from the fight, he had a good presence on the ice. Looked very strong. And I liked what I saw from him.
He did, and he played the fourth line. He was matched up with McEwen and Allan. But when Martin Rivai, he got hit once and missed a shift or two. And then I think coach's decision, he missed a couple of shifts. And who was there on the left wing but Antoine Wakid? He was the one that stepped in and didn't look out of place on the first line.
Really was a good camp, good tournament overall, despite the bit of the shellacking on Saturday night. Should be an interesting rookie camp and especially training camp. I think there's going to be a lot of competition for that last one or two roster spots with the Habs.
Absolutely. As this rookie tournament showed, it wasn't necessarily the first line. It wasn't Addison and Audet and making up being the one to look at. I thought that Nicky Petty and Will Bitton and Michael Pezzetta were the hardest working line out there.
Absolutely.
Will Bitton looked great. Speed, effort on every shift, had the goal that kind of turned the tables in the Toronto game. Speed up the wing and a great shot. The assist was from McNiven in that regard. So there's going to be surprises. There was surprises at the rookie camp. There's going to be surprises as well in the main camp.
Anyone in particular who you felt maybe didn't live up to expectations?
Well, I think because of the billing, Martin Rivai, that I was expecting more from him. But, you know, with all, as we talked about, there's reasons for that. Daniel Audet, this is, you know, he was one of the returning Ice Caps, now Rocket, one of the returning AHL players, had a full season in the AHL. He got a goal, a power play goal, but I was certainly expecting a lot more from him.
Well, I think that the entire coaching and management staff are going to have their hands full this coming next couple of weeks in Brassard as rookie camp starts to wind down and the guys, the rest of the team report for weigh-ins and medicals later on this week. What's your expectations for how training camp's going to start to shape out in the first week or so?
No, there's, as I said, there's going to be surprises. Let's not forget Thomas Ebbing. He had three goals, led the team. He had three goals all last season in the NCAA, and he had three goals in the tournament. he's made a good case for himself to, you know, he could end up in Brampton. He could end up in Lavelle. And so there's going to be some minor stories. There will be an undoubted focus on Drouin, on Galchenyuk, on how Alsner will fit in. There's going to be these undercards, and we're going to be looking at Jakob de la Rose. We're going to be looking at Michael McCarron. We're going to be looking at Charles Houdon and how they all perform during the camp and in trying to secure one of those precious roster spots.
I think it's going to be exciting. I think it's going to be one of the more exciting training camps in recent memory for the Canadians. It's going to be really interesting to see how things shake out. But I'm also very excited about this new podcast that we're launching here on AHL Report.
Absolutely.
And just we want to thank everyone who's listening to this first little kind of mini pilot episode. We're just about to wrap things up here, but just talk a little bit, Rick, about what it is that people can expect from this program throughout the upcoming season.
Well, I think we've always focused on prospects. It's important. I've always thought that it's important for us to tell the full story of prospects right from the draft, so that prior to any, let's say, the first call up or appearing on an opening day roster, our readers and our listeners have an opportunity to know the full story. What can they expect from particular players? So we're going to be looking at prospects in the Canadians prospects. We'll be looking at the Lavelle Rocket. We'll be looking at the Brampton Bees. We'll be looking at the AHL in general, and anything else that we as our travels take us.
That's right.
Around the AHL and NHL. Throughout the year.
Well, and that's kind of the fun part of this too, is that, you know, we meet a lot of folks on the road that have great stories. And so sometimes there's stories that aren't necessarily on the ice, whether it's coaching staff and training staff or scouts that we get to know. We want to bring those kinds of voices and stories to our readers and our listeners. And so this is going to give us a great opportunity to do that and kind of give you a broader scope of just the stat sheet after every game each night, which we'll of course continue to do. We're going to continue our extensive coverage of the Laval Rocket and the Brampton Beast and some other AHL organizations. In addition to that, the AHL is a very exciting league on its own, and so we'll be here to bring you all of the news and entertainment updates and things of that nature and special events that are going on around the American League. And so it's going to be really, really fun every Tuesday with yours truly and Rick Stevens right here on the AHL Report.
I'm looking forward to it. It's a great addition to our Rocket Sports Radio podcast that we'll be featuring throughout the year.
Fantastic. Thanks so much for listening. We'll see everyone on Tuesday, September 19th, for the first official episode.